Species.
Unite.
Species. Unite.
We talk very badly nowadays about fashion, right? We know because of the environmental impact and so on. But at the same time, there is also value in fashion. If not, we wouldn't be so obsessed. It's inspirational. It makes you dream. Let's keep the good thing, the positive thing that gives you a good feeling, and toss away and eliminate the bad things. It can be done.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. This conversation is with Claudia Piovani. Claudia is the founder of Mia Mojo. Mia Mojo is a cruelty-free, sustainable Italian fashion brand that makes some of the most beautiful bags I've ever seen. And these bags are made out of things like cactus leather and apples and corn. And every single one of them is absolutely stunning. One of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you, Claudia, because you've been in this, when did you start? 2012? Is that when?
Yes.
The past 10 years have really been the big transformation in this industry. Every year it's just going to get better and better in terms of what's available. We had this long kind of stretch of plastic for a long time that at least it wasn't using animals, right? But it wasn't good for the planet. And in the past 3-4 years, it's really the beginning of this insane kind of materials revolution of materials that are not bad for the planet and that don't hurt anybody, people or animals. When you started, you didn't have anything available to you that was like this incredible. But you've been in it during this whole kind of transition of the materials world. Did you even see this coming?
No. And every time your mission becomes clearer and clearer. At first, as always, when you make something innovative, there were like a little bit of pathetic looks on the face of my, you know, saying, the poor one. You know?
Well, especially you're in Italy, right? Where it's like the capital of the world for leather. And you're like, nah, I'm not doing that.
So we have been even attacked by the leather industry. So there I thought, oh, okay, but we are very small. So why are you attacking us, you know?
Because they know.
Yeah, you're right. It's already on the defensive side. And of course, then I find it really, really, ridiculous when they say, oh, but, you know, it's the animals are already dead. Oh, thank you. Okay, so we can use the skin then. Because then it's completely natural. No, it's not. And it's upcycling. So it's absolutely the least wasteful material available. No. Let's start from the source, please. Let's have an honest conversation, right? And it's not even between these materials and leather. It's really, are we talking seriously about the climate and about survival on this planet? Because it's about that. And everyone should have that as a priority. So I don't want to discuss with the people producing leather on that level because it's too low, you know? Let's start from changing completely from where we start from. Okay, first of all, it's ethics. So whatever comes behind it, below it, is sustainable. But first, because it's ethical. So we need to put, of course, the other living beings into the equation, because today we talk about a lot about sustainability, talking about the planet. But, you know, the planet, nature, is made from us, from vegetables and from animals. And everything need to be preserved. Biodiversity need to be preserved. This is the first priority. And all materials and every activity that is damaging our planet is damaging our survival. It's as simple as that. And we need to avoid it. We need to stop them. And that's very simple.
Let's go back for a second to what you were saying. For people who don't know, and a lot of people are just unaware, when the leather industry says, yeah, but those animals are already dead, and why can't we just use that? Will you just explain, like, what a terrible argument that is?
It's a very terrible argument, first of all, because even if I should get into this argument at that stage when the animal is already dead, leather is not a byproduct. It's not something that, I use it, if not, it's going to be wasted. It's a co-product. It's a very valuable co-product. It makes out 20-30% of the animal value. Also, to make it, it's a natural material, right? It's a natural product. So it's going rotten if you don't use high toxic chemicals to make it so that it's durable in time. That's very bad, extremely bad for the environment and for the people that are working in that field. And it's absolutely proven that they have a very high cancer rate, for instance. It's just bad overall, you know, even if you don't like animals, even if you don't care so much for the environment, if you just care for humans, it's just bad. And today there is absolutely, it's also completely unnecessary because you have the alternatives.
I do think like the more people learn and understand, like the more they're going to like not want to carry anything made out of skin.
Exactly. It's immoral in terms of both for the animals as well as where we are at with the climate crisis.
Yeah.
It's just unacceptable to keep on using it, you know.
It is. It is. And I don't think most people are aware that they have such incredible options. There's absolutely nothing good about animal leather, including what it does to the animal. So you're in this, you start, there's not a lot available to you. Recycled plastics are pretty much what you start with, right? Then when do things start to change and how does that like happen for Miyamojo?
We started off with recycled materials. So we also still had PU, which is polyurethane. We don't have it anymore. We phased that out so that we never use virgin resources, but always recycled or upcycled resources. And then the first alternative came out, I think 4 years ago, not so much time ago. But as I'm always, you know, very keen in finding alternatives, then we are always on the lookout. Right now, I can say that we have tested basically all materials that are right now on the market. So we started off with cactus leather. I mean, this cactus leather, apple skin made from apples, corn leather made from corn, grape leather made from the grapes during the winemaking. These all have a part that is organic, but still, of course, have a part that is polyurethane. It's necessary because if not, you cannot have a product which is all organic 100%. Still, we are on a process, right? The important thing is that we are all on a process in this new world. And so the important thing I feel is that we reduce our impact constantly. We cannot go from 100 to zero. It's not possible. So I don't even see that as an argument. Oh, but there is still a little bit of polyurethane inside. Yes, but I have reduced the impact by 50%, because maybe it's 50% biodegradable or organic and 50% polyurethane.
Will it ever be possible to make anything that's like a shoe or a bag where you don't have any polyurethane?
Yes.
Oh, really?
This is all plant-based, 100%.
Like what's in it? This is a beautiful bag we're looking at.
Yeah, well, we are just testing it on our iconic material, but it's all made from different kind of vegetable waste, rice, cork, and another couple of ones. I need to check it in properly because I just received it. But, you know, these and the other one made in lab grown are the very last coming, very innovative material on the market. And then you will have also, but it's not available yet, even lab grown leather.
In the same way that they're cultivated meat, which is meat grown from cells, this is leather grown from cells. So it's the exact same product, only no animal was harmed and nor did it cause any environmental damage. And people didn't get sick from it either. But right now it's not there yet because it's being made. It's there, but it's just not scaled yet. And we're pretty far from being scaled.
Yes, but it's okay, you know, even there. I mean, we have so much. I have here 10 materials to use and to put it in production that are already fantastic. And when it times come, we will try also that one, the cultivated one.
The crazy thing is none of this really existed 4 or 5 years ago. And we're already here. Like, this is really, really fast.
It's very fast, and it's faster and faster, luckily, because, you know, more and more people are anyway aware of the stage we are at, of the fact that we need to change our lifestyle. We need to change the way we live, the way we consume, what we buy. And, you know, in this case, it's pretty easy even because if you have the same performance, if you have the same beauty, because we do handbags, we do fashion, right? So we need to have aesthetics. But if you can have aesthetics and ethics, why not to switch to this? What's the downside? We need more kindness in this world, kindness in general towards the whole planet, towards nature, towards all living beings. And it's not a sacrifice, this one here.
Claudia and I met at Mercy for Animals Gala a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles. And you were carrying a bag that was corn, right? It was made from corn.
Yes.
I'd never known corn was a thing in this vegan alternative world. And it was stunning. Since then, Claudia sent me a bag that is my favorite bag at the moment. It's this beautiful green bag made from apple skin. Again, because this is really new to a lot of people. How is this even a possibility? Like, how does this even happen?
It's actually quite good. Particularly, let's talk about apple skin, right? It's the bag that you have. And so you know how it feels, you know how it looks. You cannot probably tell the difference between that and the leather bag, I suppose, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Every time I'm out with it, I get compliments. It's such a cool bag.
Thank you. I'm very happy to hear that. And, you know, it's even in that case, apple skin, it's even upcycled. What does it mean? It's not apples. It's apple waste from the apple industry. Basically, when you produce juices, apple juice, you have lots of waste from the apples, right? So the peel, the skin of the apples and others. And then you take that, you shred that, you make it like, you let it dry. It becomes a kind of powder. The powder is mixed with polyurethane and you get this material. And it's all made here in the area around 200 kilometers.
200 kilometers around Milan.
Yeah. So it's also local. So we try to keep it also there, you know, as sustainable, as environmental friendly as possible. And here we come. So it's, I was, of course, I visited all the apple plantations, which are just here in the Dolomites. And, of course, we visited all the factories and then you find also the right artisans who are willing, because that's also, that was also quite a challenge, you know. When I went the first time to, you know, in Italy, all the big brands, luxury brands, they are all producing here. And mostly they produce in Tuscany. It's very well known as an area of great artisanship for leather. So I said, okay, well, let's go there. And I was very tough to find someone who wanted to use alternative materials to leather. You can imagine, you know, you can imagine the look that they gave me.
How incredible is it that like the leather capital of the world has now become like the plant-based materials capital?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
At the same time, it's awesome because yes, you find those and then you go on, well, I go to the next one and see who wants to try it out. And then you find those that are really, really keen in finding, in trying these new materials. And that's when you have this kind of enthusiasm in and openness, it's fantastic, of course. And then I also can tell you this, there is a big, big company here producing polyurethane. And when we met, which was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, they had like a very small part of their collection that was plant-based or, you know, more organic. And now it's about 57% of all their collection after just 3 years. So basically, that's the future. And for polyurethane or, of course, leather is not the past. Is, I don't know if you have a word before the past.
Leather will be the past very soon.
Polyurethane is also, well, it's also the past as well. So it's... and it's here, and yeah, I mean, luckily, it's still a small part. I must admit, it's still a niche market, but we just need to get more visibility and to get it out there. And you know, these artisans that I found, they are also, oh, let me try shoes, let me try these. They, you know, they are very keen in trying out all the shoes, see how they perform, how the materials perform there. What can we do? How the machines need to be changed so that we can work better the material and make it nicer and with a higher quality. So it's amazing.
I would imagine the artisans who were open to this also probably are aware of like that things have to change, right? Like you can't be stuck in this way we've been doing things for centuries that's been good for nobody.
Yeah, those that do, they are aware and they embrace. They embrace the future because there is absolutely, you know, it's very stupid not to embrace the future and to get on the defensive side. It's like, you know, probably those that produced coaches before cars, you know, maybe they defended that business, but, you know, you lose somehow
because
innovation is coming.
I think the materials world is going to change. So, I mean, already look what's happened in 3 or 4 years. But once all these, it's going to change so fast in the next decade that people, I think it'll become a thing where people just don't even consider leather anymore, you know, sometime in the next 10 years, where it gets phased out.
I hope that it gets a stigma, first of all, you know, that when you get your bag, oh, it's made from leather. Like, you know, what, are you still there? You know, it needs to have a social stigma because it's bad.
The fashion industry is so massive in its environmental damage that the whole industry has to change as a responsibility to the planet.
Yes, but what about if we change as consumers?
Yeah, well,
and we drive the change. We should drive the change.
We should.
Because after all, if there is no demand, there is no offer. And more and more big brands as well are doing, you know, limited edition or, you know, small collection made out of these innovative materials because they want to get this target of consumers that is growing. So we can make something obsolete and we can really change the world. So, you know, let's get also some individual responsibility.
Yes, I agree.
Because we are very powerful. You know, I don't like when people say, oh, you know, about the government, but this, but that, but what are you doing?
Yeah.
And everyone can do massively, massively to change and to contribute to a better way.
Demand is everything. Without demand, nothing gets made.
And there probably there are some, I mean, at least here in Italy for sure, but not just in Italy, lobbies of the dairy industry, the meat industry, the leather industry. And so people don't know because if they would know, they would immediately stop buying certain things. And then how much cooler is it when I say to someone, oh, nice bag. And I said, oh, you know what? It's made from apples. And there you start a whole conversation instead of saying, oh, you know what? It's made from animal skin who was slaughtered. And you know, so that I can have these beautiful items. I mean, come on.
Of course I want to carry beautiful bags and wear cool boots because it keeps the narrative, the conversation going.
You know, fashion, yeah, fashion has also very good, I mean, we talk very badly nowadays about fashion, right? We know because of the environmental impact and so on. But at the same time, there is also value in fashion. If not, we wouldn't be so obsessed since always.
Right.
It's inspirational. It makes you dream. Let's keep the good thing, the positive thing that gives you a good feeling and toss away and, eliminate the bad things.
Yeah.
It can be done.
And it's starting and you're doing it. I mean, and that's what's so exciting.
And of course, a very important part for us is as well that we give a percentage, 10% of our turnover to important animal welfare organizations around the world. One of these, as you mentioned before, is Mercy for Animals. And then we have also many others like PETA, Four Paws, I mean, in different parts of the globe. And that makes you feel good as well.
Yeah.
It feels good not only not to damage the planet but also to contribute massively and to help. In the end, we as human beings are satisfied if we contribute to something that is bigger than us.
Yes.
And so can you imagine you buy something and you are not damaging anything, you are not killing anyone, and you are even saving other living beings. It's very rewarding.
That is hopefully how the trajectory of what consumerism and shopping will start looking like in the future, that what you're doing when you buy from you is you're not causing any harm, but you're also doing good, right? And you are certified B Corp now too, right?
Oh, yes. That was a long story.
That's a big deal.
When I got the news, I started crying like crazy here in the office. I still feel it nowadays because it took 2 years of blood and efforts to get there. Like 3%, just 3% of the companies who enroll to become, to get the certification, get it. And it's now, I think we are approximately 5,000 companies in the world.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Will you talk about what that means?
Yes, to be a big corporation, you are really someone come in, you work with the people from this organization, and they screen every part of your company, from well-being of your employees, to your environmental impact, to your contribution to the community, to your ecological your carbon footprint, basically everything. And then if you get the right amount of points over these issues, then you can get the certification. And that means that you are meeting the highest standards of sustainability. So it's quite tough. You have to provide lots of data about all your supply chain, about everything that you do in the office, about how much water you use, even in your office,
Wow.
It's tough.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
It was a big deal. We are very happy about it. And anyway, it's good to improve all the time, right? It's good to have high standards. Well, I love to have high standards, even if it's tough to reach them, because we have limited resources.
Right.
And we need to use them as a very precious thing, as they are.
Claudia, this is so exciting. I'm so happy we met.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for having me. Ciao.
To learn more about Claudia and to learn about Mia Mojo, go to our website, speciesunite.com. We will have links to everything. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare minute and could do us a favor, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you would like to support Species Unite, we would greatly appreciate it. Go to our website, speciesunite.com, and click donate. I would like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knudsen, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, Bethany Jones, and Anna Kallner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.